Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Fan Hotline brought to you by the workers' compensation law firm of Holland Capitis. That's where we find our Steelers insider, Ed Bouchette, who made national news a couple of weeks ago when he caught up with Terry Bradshaw and talked to him about his elbow injury and Ben Roethlisberger's recovery, plus Terry in that interview, as he told us a few months ago and then said again on The Fan today, doesn't consider Tom Brady the greatest quarterback of all time. Maybe nationally that'll be what again makes the rounds and becomes the big story from that visit on The Fan. But for us, Ed, the Steelers-related items, much more relevant. Bradshaw's strained relationship with the Steelers. And I guess I'll start. You're in the Hall of Fame for covering the Steelers. You've been around this organization for a long time. What's your relationship like with Terry Bradshaw?
Well, I really didn't have one in the 70s because, Andrew, I started covering their home games when I was working right out of college for a small paper in Indiana, PA. I covered all their home games in 74 and 75. I moved to Greensburg and covered more stuff, but I wasn't down there every day. Covered home games, traveled a little bit, went to training camp a little bit. So Bradshaw was really gone by the time it became our beat in 85. But through the years, I've talked to him. And I have a buddy, a good friend, who works for him, helps him gather information. And he puts me in touch with Terry. But we had a real good talk, about 45 minutes a couple of weeks ago, and was really enjoyable. It reminded me of those days when he would be in a locker room and just talk forever, you know, just talk and talk and talk and give you all kinds of stories. And he certainly did the other week.
Do you think he gets an unfair rap here from the people, or how do you think? Do you think he's properly received and remembered in this town as far as Terry the person, not so much Terry the player, for what he was off the field, Ed?
I think he is, Chris, but he's hurt himself in that regard by attacking Noel, attacking Ben, attacking Tomlin. You know, the fans do that too, but they don't want to see someone like Terry doing it, I don't think.
But isn't that his job? With Ben and Tomlin, isn't that his job? Not so much Noel, but he's on Fox to give those opinions, Ed.
He is, but I think some of them may, not with Ben, because he was criticizing for Ben for not riding, for when he was back riding this motorcycle without the helmet and that kind of thing, and Ben didn't take that well. I think he was a little unfair with Mike. But, hey, when's the last time everybody who does that for a living does things fairly, you know? Every once in a while you're not. Nevertheless, the fact people still want to talk to him and he's still, as you said, making national news shows you how big he is.
Do you think he's right in saying Ben's better than him?
I didn't know he said that. I never asked him that.
That's what he said today. Yeah, he said that today.
I would say yes in some ways, no in others, because the rules were different. He called all his own plays. Now, Ben is doing a lot of that in the second half of his career as well. You know, the protection of the quarterback is better. The blocking is better because the linemen can hold now.
A lot of things. You guys know those rules changes. The receivers can't get beat up anymore. But on the other hand, Ben was successful right from the get-go. Terry was not. You know, in 74 was his fifth season in the league, the first year they won a Super Bowl, and he was not the starting quarterback for like six games, mm-hmm. maybe more. Joe Gillum led him in passing that year.
Yep.
So it took him a while. And he had, of course, much better talent around him than did Ben.
Ed, what do you think? So this is kind of an abstract question, but you say they both call their own plays, obviously now Ben doing it more and more to a degree. Tougher to call your own plays now with the, I would imagine, relative increase in defensive sophistication, or tougher to call them back then when the rules were a lot more in favor of maybe defenses and being able to take physical liberties with quarterbacks and receivers and so on?
Oh, no, it's much easier back then. Defenses were not nearly as sophisticated, weren't moving around like they do now, weren't substituting like they do now. You know, it was so much easier. I don't want to say it was easy, but it was simpler back then than it is now. Now it's just it's like all these people moving all over the place. I mean, you saw how Troy Polamalu played. We didn't see any of that in the 70s.
Ed Bouchette, our Steelers insider. Play a clip from Bradshaw here, Ed, and Chris and I are too young. We're not wise. We're not somebody with the vast amount of wisdom that you have when it comes to the Steelers. We heard this from Bradshaw today, and Chris and I couldn't quite figure out who he was talking about.
I didn't like my image in Pittsburgh, being dumb. It pissed me off. I had to live with it, but I damn sure wasn't happy about it, and I had to play up to it and make fun of it and go, hee-haw. But I was a serious football player, very serious, and so I didn't like that. And the people that started that were in Pittsburgh. I know exactly who he is, and I've never mentioned his name. I'm never going to mention his name. It doesn't do anybody any good to do that.
You know, I don't know specifically who he was talking about, but I can tell you there were some newspaper stories that were not kind in that regard to Terry. Talking just like Terry just said, golly, that kind of thing. The blonde bomber from the South.
Was that your Southern accent, Ed? I kind of like that. That wasn't bad.
He's right in that regard. They didn't give him credit early on, I think, for the most part. Until they won a Super Bowl, let's say then. You could go back and look at some stories and say, oh my God, how did this ever get in print?
Ed, one of the things I'm very interested in is the dynamic and the difference that Bradshaw draws between Chuck Knoll as a coach and Mike Tomlin and other modern coaches. You've observed the game for a long time. When did that dynamic generally start to change where coaches, maybe not a lot of them all the time, I know Tom Coughlin's certainly a throwback when he was coaching, but coaches became a little bit less stoic, a little more player-friendly, generally speaking, in the NFL?
Well, I would think Bill Belichick is Knoll-like.
Yeah.
I haven't been around him a lot.
Yeah, he's the one guy, yeah.
Yeah. And Parcells was like that, I think, a lot. Chuck was not a warm and fuzzy coach. He wasn't. I remember, and I'm going to do this without swearing here, mm-hmm. I remember when the USFL lost, when it went out of business, and Chuck was... We were at training camp. I forget if it was when they lost the lawsuit, but whatever. And it was a bunch of us gathered around, and I asked him, I said, what do you think of the USFL being done? And he was going, oh, that's great. And I said to him, I said, Chuck, there's a lot of coaches being thrown out of jobs because of that, in your business.
Good follow-up. I like
he
that.
Goes, he looks at me and he goes, don't give me that hearts and flowers BS. And he pronounced BS. And you know, that was Chuck. I like Chuck. I mean, he didn't give us a lot of, you know, great quotes like many other coaches, but when he said some things, they could hit home.
One of the, I thought, more powerful moments from the interview today, and people can go to 93.7thefan.com and listen back to it, was, you know, Cook really came right at him, like Tyson sensing that just one punch would knock out his opponent, and brought up Bradshaw skipping out on all those funerals, Ed. Not coming back for the Chief's funeral, not being here for Dan Rooney's funeral, not being here for Chuck Knoll's funeral. And Bradshaw said, if that's what I'm judged by, if people think of me by the amount of funerals I attend or don't attend, then maybe I should have gone to more funerals. Did bring up the fact that he went to Joe Green's wife's funerals. So where have you always come down on that? Is that being one of the leading criticisms of Bradshaw, that he doesn't come back for Pittsburgh memorial services?
Oh, big one. And I talked to Bradshaw about that. In fact, I'm writing another story on Terry, a different kind of story that I'm working on now. And we talked about that, and he said, I'm not one to go to funerals. I just don't like it. Not that anybody does, but he said, I'm just not one to go. And I asked Jimmy Johnson, you go to funerals, Jimmy? He goes, no, not unless it's family. And he said, that's the same as me. He did go to Mike Webster's funeral, I believe. But I just you know, Terry's really complicated, and he, in a way, he is shy. I remember when he came back, I don't know if you guys were around, Tony, you may not have been, but it was a big moment when he came back, I think it was 02 at Heinz Field, and was honored and walked onto the field with his two daughters. And again, I talked to my buddy, and he said, Terry's really apprehensive. He's worried that he's going to be booed. I said, he is not going to be booed by that crowd. They're going to love him. He said, he's bringing his two daughters with him because he told me, he said, they won't boo because they'll be with me. But that's
Damn.
Terry. You know, he's talked about his depression and I forget what the clinical thing is he said he has, and I believe it.
Well, he thinks that the Steelers' old PR man, Joe Gordon's on like a mission to bring him down. He kind of hinted at that a couple times today, Ed.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that.
But there does not seem to be a good relationship there between those two guys. Would you agree with that?
I've heard. I haven't really talked to Joe about it. I know Joe pretty good. I know Ron and I have talked about it, how Joe might feel. But I don't know firsthand. I get along with Terry. I can see his, you know, shortcomings, strengths. I like him. As I said, he's done some things that have ticked off people here, but I guarantee you, if he walked out at halftime of the next game at Heinz Field and was introduced, he would get a rousing ovation.
Ed, I'm just thinking this because I sit on Twitter all day during the show looking for stories. And by the way, TMZ, fellas, has picked up on this Terry Bradshaw thing.
So this is Cook making TMZ now. Wow.
Yes, TMZ's, I guess, sports-centric arm has tweeted out the Terry Bradshaw thing with the Brady and Fouts stuff as kind of the headline. So it is going national in a big way. Do you think, Ron, if Terry Bradshaw was playing
– You called him Ron.
Because we – I know we've.
That's okay.
I know because he just mentioned Ron so many times. Ed, do you think that if Terry was playing in this day and age, because he is a pretty witty, funny guy with some comedic timing for sure, and he had access to social media to sort of get his side of things out more easily than having stories in the paper that are written that, as you said earlier, like you wouldn't believe that some of this stuff made it to print. Do you think he would have had an easier time as far as like his relationship to a city and to its fans, being able to control the message a little bit like that?
I think it may have been tougher times with all the, as you mentioned, social media and everything. People would have jumped on him for every little thing. It's hard to really envision that, but I think it might have been tougher.
Okay, Ed. Thank you, Ed. I'm not going to tweet out anything from this conversation that gets the Twitter trolls after you.
Bouchette says they should sign Jameis Winston.
Hey, Cowher said it, Ed. How about that? That was big for me.
I saw that. Yeah. When Mike Tomlin says it, let me know, Andrew.
Well, Tomlin's not going to. He's going to go on Stephen A. Smith's show and say it to him, not me, Ed. You know that.
Well, no local Ed, guys. You know,
Ed, you better. Everybody better hope and pray that Jameis Winston actually doesn't end up with the Steelers, because if he does, the amount of throwing from this show will power a small city.
Insufferable.
I'm already insufferable, according to your old paper, but that's neither here nor there. All right, Ed, you're the man. Thank you.
Bye, Ed.
All right, guys, we'll see you.
There you go.
See you, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.